This podcast is part of the MyPodcast.com network. Go online right now and get your very own 100% free podcast, MyPodcast.com.
Is it wrong to judge, to apply judgment to others? How many times have you heard someone proclaim, "Judge not, that you be not judged"? This verse of scripture from Matthew 7:1 is often quoted and taken completely out of context by people who are terrified at the thought of someone preaching against sin or pointing out any form of sin in anyone, especially in themselves. I remember reading an article from a man who explained that as he stood in the voting line one day, he overheard a woman justifying her foolish choice for president by saying, "Well, we aren't supposed to judge." Can you imagine that, choosing not to thoroughly evaluate and judge a political candidate on the election day? And should we be shocked that the nation is in such a mess? As for Matthew 7:1, the context of verses 1 through 5 condones judging after you have first judged yourself. Jesus is not making a blanket statement against judgment. He's simply pointing out a rule for judging. Now let's examine that in Matthew 7:1 through 5. Follow me there, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. If you can't read along, just jot it down for future reference. And as it states here, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in all thine own eye? Or how would thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye,' and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." And that verse in verse 5 is pretty much self-explanatory. It is just emphasizing, correct your own faults before you apply judgment to another situation, is simply what this is saying. He's not making a blanket statement against judgment. The emphasis is on correcting or your own faults to ensure that you're living in a way that's pleasing to God, in a righteous way, before you can apply judgment to another man's situation. But it is not a blanket statement against judgment, and I hope to make that clear as we proceed. Now, the term of the word judge in its various forms is found over 700 times in God's Word. One whole book of the Bible that's titled Judges was written at a time when God raised up judges to lead his people. As you're about to see, God expects his people to judge. In fact, you are disobeying God if you refuse to judge. But righteous judgment is what's being emphasized, or to do judgment in righteousness. Or you, the person who is judging, must be righteous themselves. This is what to judge in righteousness means. While applying righteous judgment, you have to be a righteous individual. This is essentially what that means, and put it in a nutshell. And what is righteousness? Righteousness, you may ask. The answer to that question can be found by going to www.thetruthplainandsimple.info and listening to the audio entitled "Repentance: What Is It Exactly?" The purpose of righteous judgment is to expose wrongdoing and evil for what they are, and this is something that has been a part of most societies and nations for centuries, and it is something God expects the righteous to do consistently. As a matter of fact, it is what the courts and the law of the land are based on, judging. As it relates to trials, to get to the truth, judging certain situations, to correct those situations, to point out the fault and errors in certain situations. It is a requirement. It is something that is practiced in societies and has been a part of most societies and nations for centuries. It is something God expects the righteous to do consistently, but righteously, with compassion, yet uncompromisingly. The righteous servants of God are to be a type of traffic cop in the world today, to detour passengers and drivers on the highway of life, if you will, in the right direction, to ensure that they arrive at their destination safely, as opposed to allowing them to go down dead ends or drive off cliffs without saying a word, without as much as a peep, when you have the knowledge and wisdom to prevent it. Judging is a very important part of the Christian life, and we are commanded and instructed to do it after meeting certain criteria ourselves. And I hope to make that evidently clear today. And now if you'll follow me to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. Excuse me. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. As it states here, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Now, again, that is self-explanatory. It is saying thou shalt do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt do no unrighteousness while applying judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor while judging, nor honor the person of the mighty while applying that judgment. It is emphasized, goes on to say, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. It is emphasizing while you are applying that judgment, you, the individual who is applying that judgment, must be walking in accordance with Scripture yourselves and living your life in a way that is pleasing and is deemed righteous in the eyes of God. And it is deemed, as the Bible defines righteousness, not by your own personal interpretation of what repentance or righteousness is. And again, if you don't know exactly what repentance is or righteousness is, and they really are one and the same, and they repentance is essentially righteousness, and righteousness is essentially repentance. If you don't know what that is, you can go to www.thetruthplainandsimple and listen to the audio. www.thetruthplainandsimple.info simple.info and listen to the audio entitled Repentance. What is it exactly? And it'll give you some eye-opening information as to exactly what it is. And again, let's go over that verse again in Leviticus 19:15. As it states here, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. It's been long taught by a false religion and a false Christianity that the judging is wrong. But again, as I hope to make it plain and crystal clear today, that the true servants of God are commanded to do it and commanded to expose evil and for what it is. That is what part of judging is about, to expose wrongdoing for what it really is and to call it what it really is. And we are commanded to do that. The true servants of God are commanded to do that. That is emphasized in Ephesians 5, 11 through 12 or 10 through 12. It emphasizes that it have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove means to expose. And again, let's proceed. And again, I hope it make it evidently clear that judging is something that we are required to do. In fact, that the righteous man, the righteous servants of God, are commanded to do. Now let's proceed, if you'll follow me, to Psalms 37:30. Jot it down, if you just read along, but if you can't, just jot it down for future reference. Again, it's Psalms chapter 37, verse 30. Now, as it states here, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Now, that's an amazing verse right there. It is emphasizing here that the righteous man, his tongue speaks of judgment. That is just one of the characteristics of a righteous individual. He speaks about the judgment, properly discerning wrongdoing and evil, but the judgments of God as well is what this is emphasizing. Judgment in a more broader term, sense, in a more broader term is what this is emphasizing. It emphasizes here again, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. That is one of the characteristics of righteous character. This individual is speaking about the judgments of God. He's pointing out things that are wrong and are deemed offensive to God. That is what he's required to do, being a servant of God. He's required to do it. He or she is required to do it. And again, I hope to make it evidently clear that judging and judging righteous judgment is a requirement for any individual that is calls himself or considers himself a true servant of God. Again, a righteous person will talk of judgment. He will not refuse to judge. He will talk and speak about judgment. Now let's proceed, if you'll follow me, to Proverbs 24:23. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 23. As it states here, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. And it's emphasizing here that it is not good to base that judgment, your judgment of an individual, on his status in life, on who he is, his name, his social status. That judgment should be applied using righteous judgment, not taking into account the status of this individual, how much money he has, or who he is in life. That means nothing. The judgment has to be done based on righteous judgment, based on what God's word says about the situation or circumstance, not about who this individual is, or how much money he has, or how famous he is, or his status in life. That is having respect of persons in judgment, and that is deemed abominable and offensive by Almighty God. Now let's proceed, if you'll follow me, to Isaiah 59:8. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 8. Isaiah 59, verse 8. As it states here, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, and whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore, we can proceed to 9. Therefore, judgment is far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. And why is that? It is emphasizing here that these particular individuals are waiting for light, but behold, they are in our obscurity; and for brightness, but they walk in darkness. But it emphasizes prior to that, and that is because there is no judgment in the land. Nobody is calling the evil what it is, the perversions what they are. This is why they walk in obscurity. This is why they walk in darkness. Now let's go over that again. It says the way of peace they know not, and there's no judgment in their goings. There's no judgment in the way that the way that they conduct themselves and live their lives. They apply no judgment to situations, circumstances. That's why evil is flourishing. And this is essentially what this means and what this is saying. They apply no judgment, calling it what it is. Therefore, evil, perversions, and wickedness flourish. It says, the way of peace they know not. There's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. Because why? Because there is no judgment, because there is judgment is far from them. There is no justice, because there is no judgment. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. And all that stems from the fact that there is no judgment in the land. Nobody is calling evil what it is. Nobody is speaking against it. And this is essentially where we are in this day and age today. And this is what Satan would have you believe. And this is the false doctrine that he's perpetuated and spread for hundreds of years now, that it is wrong to judge, when in fact according to scripture, the true servants of God are commanded to do it. We are commanded to call these things what they are, to expose them for what they are. For you to sit silent and say nothing merely gives this wickedness a green light to prosper, progress, grow, and flourish to the destruction of multiple millions of individuals. That is both spiritually and physically. That's essentially what happens. Close your eyes, shut your eyes, and shut your mouth as the wickedness flourishes and grows to the destruction of multiple millions of individuals, both spiritually and physically. And this is what Satan, this is what he desires more than anything. This is what he loves. This is why he's perpetuated this false teaching of judge not, taking scripture completely out of context. And as I explained earlier, I hope to make it plain and evidently clear to you that any righteous servant of God is commanded to judge righteous judgment. Now let's proceed, if you'll follow me, to Amos chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Amos chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Jot it down. If you can read along, just jot it down for future reference. Again, it's Amos chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. As it states, seek good and not evil. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts shall be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in the streets, they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. They shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. It is emphasizing again, seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good. Establish judgment. It is emphasizing over and over throughout Scripture, not only in the Old Testament, because you have so many of these false teachers and false ministers, false religion, that try to do away with the Old Testament, when in fact you cannot properly interpret the New Testament without the Old Testament, and you cannot properly interpret the Old Testament without the New Testament. They complement with one another. They cultivate one another. They interpret one another. They confirm one another. The Bible is not complete without one without the other. Every aspect of the Bible is relevant. Every aspect of it. In these end times, the Old Testament is probably even more so in these end times. Because most of these end time, these Old Testament scriptures are about end time prophecies for us today. They are more relevant now than ever. Well, again, let's go over that again. It says, seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you. As ye have spoken, hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. Emphasize establish judgment, do judgment, so that the evil won't flourish, so that evil will be exposed for what it is. This is what he's emphasizing. It may be that the Lord of hosts shall be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. And so how can you hate the evil and love the good if you refuse to judge? You can't. And you're sinning when you refuse to judge. It is a sin not to judge, but a righteous judgment. Now, as I hope to make plain, that does not apply to an individual who is living in absolute rebellion against the law of God, the word of God. For that individual to apply judgment is tantamount to suicide, because that is emphasized in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It emphasizes that that individual is inexcusable for judging, because he that judges another doeth the same things. It is emphasizing you don't have the right to do it. You cannot do it. It is offensive if that individual does it, because he's doing the same thing that he's judging this other individual about. You have to apply judgment and righteousness. You yourself being righteous when applying that judgment. And this is what is emphasized. Now let's proceed. If you'll follow me to Habakkuk or Habakkuk. Habakkuk, that's Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 4, Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 4, jot it down for future reference if you can't follow along. Again, that's Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 4, as it states here, therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. That's amazing there. That's a powerful verse right there. It's saying the law is slack and has no judgment in the land. Therefore wickedness, the wicked compass about the righteous. It is saying because there's no judgment, it's slacked in the land. That is nobody calling wickedness what it is. It is flourishing. It is spreading like bacteria in a putri dish. Is essentially what this is saying. And therefore the wicked compass about the righteous. There are more wicked than there are righteous. Many more, because there's no judgment in the land. There's nobody calling the wickedness what it is. And this is essentially what this is saying. And let's go over that once again. Again, it's Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 4. It says, therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Or lies and untruths is essentially what that is saying. This is what this is saying. There's no judgment in the land, so wickedness is flourishing. Perversions are flourishing. Lies, treacheries, violence, everything is flourishing because nobody's saying anything. Because Satan has convinced everybody that it is wrong to judge, which is an absolute lie, and which is not at all supported by Scripture. only one or two verses taken completely out of context, as they do so often, at least this false religion does so often, as false ministers do so often. Again, it is emphasized throughout Scripture that it is the responsibility of the righteous individual, the righteous servants of God, to apply judgment in the land, even more so in this day and age. It is our responsibility, and we are rebelling against God if we don't do it. Now let's proceed, if you'll follow me, to Micah chapter 3, verse 8 through 9. Micah chapter 3, verse 8 through 9. As it states here, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression." This is emphasizing I'm full of power and judgment to expose, tell Jacob, listen, about his sins and his transgressions. It is emphasizing here that he's full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. To inform Israel of what they're doing wrong is essentially what this is saying. And it requires judgment to do that, which is emphasized here. And it goes on to say, "Hear this, I pray ye, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor, that hate judgment and pervert all equity." They hate judgment. And this is why their situation is that is as it is. They hate the judgment. They hate anybody speaking out against what's the wrongdoing, speaking out against evil. And this is how it was then, and this in ancient Israel, and this is how it is today in modern day Israel, which is the United States. They are the true descendants of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. The same thing applies. They hate judgment. Anybody that speaks against evil, they say, "Well, you will know you're judging. It's wrong to do that. And that's not consistent with Bible law. We are commanded to do it. If you don't do it, evil flourishes. It prospers. It grows until it has ultimately and eventually destroyed millions of lives, both spiritually and physically." And this is where we're at right now. When you speak against perversions, when you speak against murder in the streets, when you speak against pedophile behaviors, where you're being judgmental, when in fact we're required to do it. We're commanded to do it. And again, I hope to make that plain and as evident as a nose on your face as we proceed. And if you will continue with me, and let's proceed to Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. As it states here, "Then shall ye return and discern." And that is speaking about judge. To discern means to judge. And it's simply what it is talking about here. "Then shall ye return and discern," or judge, "between the righteous and the wicked." You can't discern unless you judge. Discern means to figure out who is righteous and who is wicked. What is wrong and what is right. And you have to apply judgment to do that. It says, and let's go over that again. It says here in Malachi 3, chapter 3, verse 18. "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not, between him that is a false and an imposter, and him that is truly serving God." And you have to apply judgment to do that. Again, let's go over that one more time. Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." You have to discern. To discern means to judge, to determine what is wrong, what is right, what is wickedness, what is righteousness. And that applies absolute judgment. You have to apply judgment to do that. Again, let's proceed. If you'll follow me to Luke. And again, this is not just emphasizing only the Old Testament. It is emphasized throughout Scripture. And I hope to make that plain. If you'll follow me to Luke chapter 7. Verse 43. Luke chapter 7, verse 43. Luke chapter 7, verse 43. Jot it down for future reference if you can't read along. And this states here, "Simon answered." To give you the clear picture of it, let's begin in Luke chapter 7, verse 40 through 43. As this day said, Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Christ is telling Simon here that you've judged rightly. You've applied the proper righteous judgment to that particular issue is essentially what he's saying. And he's basically that is encouraging him to do that, essentially. Encouraging righteous judgment complimenting him for doing that. To encourage him to continue to apply righteous judgment to situations and circumstances is essentially what he's doing there. And let's proceed, if you'll follow me, to John chapter 7, verse 24. John chapter 7, verse 24. And as it states here, again, jot it down for future reference if you can't read along. But as it states here, John chapter 7, verse 24. As it states here, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Again, is what I've been emphasizing throughout this audio. And that is what Christ emphasizes. That is what the Bible emphasizes. That is what God emphasizes. If you are going to judge, you have to apply righteous judgment, meaning that you, excuse me, you yourself, that individual who is applying the judgment, has to be a righteous individual himself. And that judgment has to be based on the word of God exclusively. God's definition as it relates to sin. God's definition, the Bible's definition of it as it relates to wrongdoing. Not your own personal interpretation of definition as it relates to wrongdoing or what's right and wrong. That judgment has to be based on the word of God, and you, that individual who is doing the judging, has to be righteous himself. That is what's being emphasized here. Now let's proceed, if you'll follow me, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. As it states here, he that is spiritual judges all things, but he himself is judge of no man. And this is just emphasizing that the man that has the Spirit of God dwelling with him has a deeper spiritual insight to things. His ability to properly discern things is much greater, to correctly discern situations and circumstances as it pertains and relates to what is truly sin, transgression, and what is righteousness, what is wrong, what is right, what is wicked, and what is good. This is essentially what this is saying, and it is emphasizing here that he is able to judge all things, but yet he himself the judge of no man. That's another amazing verse. Said he judges all things, and there's not being condemned here. In fact, that is that type of judgment is encouraged throughout Scripture, as you've seen. It's encouraged throughout Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, to apply judgment to situations, to call the evil what it is, because when you don't, evil flourishes. That is, it's a simple philosophy. You know, it's fairly simple. It's a simple situation. Simple philosophy. When you don't say anything, it grows, it flourishes, it progresses until it is corrupted, perverted, and ultimately destroyed multiple millions of lives, both spiritually and physically. And this is what Satan would love to happen. That's why he's promoting this false doctrine of judge not, and it is wrong to judge, when in fact the Bible emphasizes, as I've shown to you clearly here, that the true servants of God are commanded to do it. Righteous servants of God are commanded to do it in righteousness. And letting that judgment be based exclusively on the word of God. Now let's proceed. I mean, essentially what this is essentially saying, you know, you have to evaluate that. You have to understand, why would Paul make that statement? Why would Paul make that statement as judging is wrong? Judging is not wrong. Paul didn't believe it. He didn't preach against it. Neither did Christ. Neither does the Bible. False religion does. Satan does, false ministers do, but not the Bible, not the word of God, not Christ, not God, not Paul, not the true servants of God. It is encouraged. It goes on to say, now the alternative is to close your eyes, essentially. The alternative to not judging is to close your eyes and keep silent about every evil, abominable act, which is essentially giving the green light to all manner of twisted evils and perversions, which lead to the rapid deterioration of lives, families, societies, and nations. Satan has been lying to us in hopes that we will not judge, because he knows that the right kind of judgment, righteous judgment, is well-pleasing to God and betters our societies, lives, and Christian service. This is what it boils down to. It's as simple as that. Now let's proceed, if you'll follow me, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Now you may ask, well, should we judge? And as I've emphasized throughout this audio, yes, we most certainly should. Paul actually rebukes the Corinthians for not judging. As it states here in, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, as he states, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Do you understand that in the world to come, that's going to be a part of the saints' job to apply judgment? And it is emphasized through Scripture that we're going to judge angels. The true servants of God are going to apply judgment. Is going to be an integral part of the glorified saints' lives and their responsibilities to judge. It's going to be a part, an integral part of the world to come, to apply righteous judgment, to ensure that wickedness and perversions and evil do not flourish. That is the purpose of righteous judgment. That is what it is meant to do, to expose wickedness and evil for what it is, to ensure that it doesn't flourish into the destruction of multiple millions of individuals, both physically and spiritually. That is the purpose of righteous judgment. That is what it is meant to do. Now it says, do not ye know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. It is emphasized and encouraged throughout Scripture. Here, Paul is encouraging it. He's saying, there's not one amongst you who can judge properly between his brethren. And that's a bad thing he's emphasizing here. He said, there's not one among you who is able to judge between his brethren. He's emphasizing that is a terrible thing. It is absolutely clear here that Paul is instructing them to judge people. It is emphasized throughout Scripture, and I hope I'm making that plain to you. Don't believe me, believe God's word. Don't believe me, believe the word of God. Let us proceed, if you'll follow me, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30 through 31. As it states here, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And this is what this is emphasized. Analyze and evaluate yourself, as well. And that's an important and integral part of the whole judging process as well. Always evaluating you, looking at you, and calling evaluating your lifestyle, your behavior, and comparing it to the Word of God to ensure that what you're doing is in line with Scripture as well. That is what we're required to do. Not to judge ourselves as well. That's a part of judging. And I hope to give you some rules for judging as is emphasized by Scripture at the end of this audio. But again, it states there, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we which judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That is emphasizing if we apply judgment to ourselves, correcting ourselves on a daily basis, we won't have to go through to be judged harshly ourselves. We won't be judged harshly by God ourselves if we apply that same scrutiny to our own lives. And this is what this is emphasizing. Now, you're not to be judging others and you're doing all abominable acts of abominable evil, transgressing the word of God through and through. You don't have that right, and you risk condemnation when you do that. Let's proceed. If you'll follow me through to Revelation 2:2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. Again, notice Revelation 2:2, where it states, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. And thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them. And tried, again, here in this particular verse, simply means to judge, to discern. This is what this is talking about. And it says, and let's go over that again. It says, now notice here in Revelation 2:2, jot it down for future reference if you can't read along. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles or true Christians, essentially what this is saying, and are not, and has found them to be liars. Now, Christ is emphasizing and encouraging these individuals to try. He says, I know thy works and thy patience. He said, you're doing the right thing. He's saying, you have tried those that say they are true Christians and apostles, and I'm not, and found them to be liars. And that's a good thing. Christ is saying, that's a great thing. Here, Christ is pleased with these servants because of their righteous, accurate judgment, which has exposed these false Christians and apostles as liars and imposters. How can Christ be pleased with these Christians if judging was wrong? Is it not impossible to find someone a liar without judging them? The word trial in this verse simply means to judge. God expects us to judge only when you judge unworthily or in sin yourself or unrighteously while transgressing the commandments or the word yourself do you risk spiritual condemnation, as is emphasized in Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. Now let's go there. You can jot it down. Follow along, but if you can't, just jot it down for future reference. It's Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. As it states here, therefore thou art inexcusable, man, whosoever out there that judges, for when thou judgest another, you thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And think as though this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now that's an amazing verse right there. And this is it is self-explanatory when you can properly interpret it. But it's fairly self-explanatory. And it just goes on. And let's go over that again. It says, therefore, thou art an excusable man, whosoever thou art that judgest. But when thou judgest another, thou condemneth thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same thing. How do you condemn yourself? Because you judge and you do the same things, is what this is emphasizing. Again, this is not a blanket statement by Paul against judging. He's just saying you condemn yourself because you who are judging this individual, you're doing the same things that he's doing. And you're condemning him for doing it. So because of that, you condemn yourself. But it goes on to say, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And think as though this, O man, that judges them which do such things and doeth, again, emphasis on the fact that you do the same thing. And think as though this, O man, that judges them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. Or despises though the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Again, in that particular verse, Paul is just emphasizing that you bring condemnation on yourself because you're judging an individual, but yet you are guilty of doing the same things. And this is how you bring condemnation upon yourself. That is not a blanket statement against judgment. He's saying that you bring wrath and judgment upon yourself because you are doing the same things. You have no right to judge that individual because you're doing what he's doing. Again, it is emphasized throughout Scripture, apply judgment, but in righteousness. You, the individual who is applying the judgment, must be righteous himself. This is what that is emphasizing. There's never been a blanket statement against judgment. As I've shown here, through all these scriptural verses, that we are encouraged as servants of God to do it. And if you don't, it's an act of rebellion, as a matter of fact, for you to apply no judgment in the land. You are rebelling and behaving in a way that is offensive to God when you close your eyes and close your mouth to all the wickedness that is going on in the land. And that is punishable by death, spiritual death. And that is emphasized in Proverbs 15:17 or 17:15. Let's go there. And where it says here, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. When you justify wickedness, and when you, and make no mistake about it, for you to say nothing about it and for you to support it is justification of it. And then that is an abomination. It is emphasized in Revelation 21:7-8 that all the abominable will have their part in the lake of fire. The Bible means what it says and says what it means, and you have to be able to properly interpret the intricacies of the Bible to get a proper and full understanding of Scripture. And that that requires obedience to the Word of God as the Spirit is resting upon you or dwelling inside of you to get that full and proper understanding of Scripture. Again, let's go over that again in Proverbs 17:15. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even though they both are an abomination to the Lord. And make no mistake about it, for you to say nothing about what is happening, the perversions, the wickedness that are going on in the land, to close your mouth, close your eyes, and close your ears is essentially supporting it. And for you to say, well, there's nothing wrong with it, it's to justify it. That's the justification of it. For you to say, there's nothing wrong with it, because everybody else is saying there's nothing wrong with it. That is a justification of wickedness. And then that is deemed and viewed as an abomination, Almighty God. And that is going to be judged harshly. That's going to cost many people dearly, because they have no understanding of Scripture. It's going to cost many people because you're supporting these things. And you do not understand and don't have the ability to properly interpret Scripture. But what you need to understand is that you have to call it what it is. I mean, it's basic, simple philosophies and principles. You know it's wrong. You have a conscience. Your conscience dictates that to you. And if all fails, if you don't have an instruction manual, if you can't properly interpret the instruction manual, follow your conscience. That's what God gives it to you for. That's what he gives it to you for. We, as the servants of God, are commanded by Scripture to apply righteous judgment to all situations. And for you not to do it is an act of rebellion and is deemed absolutely offensive to Almighty God. Make no mistake about it. My name is Donald Bohannon. Thanks for listening.